Hey, brother. Appreciate you, brother. All right. If you have your Bible this morning, turn with us to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. In your Bible, we'll read a passage of Scripture here. Primarily not to preach from the content or context of Matthew chapter 10, but to get a jumping off place for a topic we'd like to look at. This morning, I want to talk about understanding the fear of the Lord, or what it is to have a holy reverence for God. So I want to read a few verses of Scripture, the Lord Jesus doing the speaking in Matthew chapter 10, where we'll be reading from, beginning in verse number 24. I'll read down through verse 28, and we'll pray together and make some opening remarks. Get into the sermon. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. The Bible says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant of his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Verse 26, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what you hear, or what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Verse 28 says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Here's the phrase we want to pay attention to, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, obviously, the one that is referred to, fear him, is speaking of the Lord himself, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Scripture, as we mentioned numerous times in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Lord, it's important what thus saith the Lord. It's important what is written. It's important what the Scriptures say. And as we have read this portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 10 this morning, the Bible warns us against fearing man and not fearing the Lord. I pray that you would help us today as we look at this topic to gain some understanding, some truth, some knowledge of it, Lord, we pray. And for that you do for us, Lord, we'll not fail to thank you. I sure need your help. And we thank you, Lord, for the good singing and the sweet spirit of the Lord that's been prevalent in our service this morning during the song service. And I pray that you would help us as we preach now. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the phrase is the fear of the Lord. Fear him, fear God, fear me. Speaking of the Lord, those are found numerous times in the Bible. In fact, the word fear itself is in our King James Bible 385 times. So the Bible has a lot to say about fear. It also has a lot to say about fearing the Lord. The phrase fear God, fear the Lord, fear him, or fear thee, that are referring to the Lord, just those phrases alone are in the Bible over 120 times. And so I'm not certain of the exact number, but I'm sure that I missed some of my count. But the Bible has a lot to say about fearing the Lord. Now, there isn't anything in the Bible that is there just to fill space. If something is mentioned in the Bible once, it's most important, but if something is repeated over and over and over in the Bible over 100 times, something that's repeated that often, I think is something that we certainly should take a closer look at and try to draw from the Scripture a good understanding of what is meant by it. And so with the help of the Lord, we want to look at several verses in the Bible, and it's Sunday morning, and we're primarily going to have a Bible study. I hope that's all right with you. And if it's not all right with you, we're still going to have a Bible study with the help of the Lord. And that's not any kind of arrogance thing or something I'm trying to be anything like that. It's simply this. We need to know what the Bible says. And we need to know what the Bible says more than we need to know what anything else in the world says. And so we're interested in what the Bible says. And so with that thought in mind, we're going to look at several different places. I have 5 points that I want to talk about during the study on understanding the fear of the Lord. And each one of those points have 3 or 4 sub-points. And so you figure all that up, it's a whole lot. That's how much it is. And so I know we won't get to cover all of it this morning. And the sad thing about that is some of you will get some of it and you won't get the rest of it. But regardless, it is important that we understand or try to gain an understanding of the fear of the Lord. And so with that thought in mind, our first point to the sermon is this, the importance of fearing the Lord. I believe that knowing the importance of something gives us a greater desire or a greater understanding, maybe to know what it is and to try to carry that out in our life. So, the importance of fearing the Lord. Come to Proverbs chapter 1, if you will. We'll do a lot of reading in Proverbs and Psalms and other places in the Bible as well, but specifically there as we go through these verses of Scripture and look at different things from the Bible. And so, the first heading is this, the importance of fearing the Lord under that thought or under that topic will be this, it is the beginning of spiritual knowledge. The importance of fearing the Lord is that it is the beginning of spiritual knowledge. Look what the Bible says here and in Proverbs chapter 1. We must believe, we must have and understand some spiritual truth before salvation. That's true. That's true. So the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And here's the contrast to that, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, this is a verse I know that we have heard numerous times and that many of us could even quote, and many of us, you know, we have committed this verse to memory. But please don't allow the familiarity of something that you have heard before, the simplicity of this verse even, please do not allow that to take away from the truth and the power of the verse. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So a healthy fear of God will drive you to learn more about Him. Now, I'll say more about this as we go along in the sermon, I'm sure, but largely the reason that our country, our nation, is in the moral decline that it is in today is because there is a lack of the fear of God. The reason that our churches as a whole are turning to more being more immoral and ungodly is because there is a lack of the fear of the Lord. So when the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction, if you despise the knowledge of the Lord, I didn't call you this, the Bible did, you are a fool if you despise wisdom and instruction. So despise means to contemn, it means to scorn, it means to disdain, it means to have a low opinion of. And so I don't want to have a low opinion of the things of God. Amen. Now come to Proverbs. You're in Proverbs chapter 1. Stay there. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. I never really thought about these together till this week. It says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Now, keep reading in a moment and you'll see this, but the Lord is saying, look, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but you foolishly declined that fear of the Lord to obtain that knowledge. And so what you have is you have despised the wisdom and instruction. So now you have called And you have stretched out your hand to me, but I haven't regarded. Verse 25 says, but you have set it in all my counsel with none of my reproof. He said, I tried to teach you. I tried to show you. I tried to instruct you. I tried to give you the knowledge, but you foolishly rejected the knowledge of the Lord. And so verse 27 says this. No, verse 26, he said, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You foolishly declined that fear. And so now your fear is coming and the tide is turned. The Lord wanted you to fear Him and learn of Him. You had no desire to do that. And so now you're in a situation where you need that, you desire that, you want that, and it may not be there. That's what we see from the text. Now look at verse number 7. Let me read verse number 26 again. It said, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. We see that phrase again, verse 27. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. So I want you to think about this. Our refusal to fear the Lord does not exempt us from fear. It just changes what we fear. We were encouraged to fear the Lord because that's the beginning of knowledge. We refuse to fear God. Fear not, have no fear. We refuse to fear God, but there's a fear coming. And when that fear comes, it may just be because you have rejected the wisdom and instruction of the Lord. You refuse to fear Him. There's a fear coming you're not going to find any relief from. Now, look at verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Now look, he tells us exactly why. Look at this. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. You see, verse 7 said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You keep reading the chapter, it said they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. And he goes on to say, they would none of my counsel, they despised all of my reproof. They didn't want anything, they didn't want to hear from God, they didn't want to do anything concerning what the Lord was trying to instruct them or teach them, but now the tide has turned and they need God and He's not there. Now, I literally put this in my notes because I absolutely mean it. I wish I had the vocabulary and the ability to properly warn you concerning coming fear in your life. You say, preacher, I don't have any fears. I don't know what form it's going to be in. I don't know how it's going to. I don't know. But there's a day coming when you're going to fear something. And if you had a healthy fear of the Lord now, He could instruct you in some wisdom and knowledge that will help you when the fear comes that's not from the Lord. And so, man, Don't reject the wisdom and the counsel of God. Don't reject the knowledge of the Lord. Don't refuse to fear God. It is healthy to fear the Lord. Now, look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Look at verse number 6. Here's why, one reason, we'll give you many more as we go along. Here's one reason why it is healthy to fear the Lord. Look what the Bible says in verse number 16, Proverbs 16, verse number 6, I should say. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, don't miss this, men depart from evil. You see, Proverbs chapter 1 said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This passage of Scripture tells us that by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You know how to easily depart from evil? By fearing the Lord. I made a statement just a moment ago about the decline, the moral decline of our nation and as our churches as a whole. And the reason for that is, as I mentioned, is the lack of the fear of the Lord. And so if you are currently involved in evil activity, it is because you do not have a healthy fear of the Lord, or either you don't know Him as your Savior at all. Amen. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of spiritual knowledge. Now come to Proverbs chapter 14. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of salvation. There's no salvation apart from the fear of the Lord. I'll read some verses. I'll make some comments. I got so many things on my heart, my mind. Rarely have I been more burdened than I've been this week. So there's no salvation where there's no fear of the Lord. Look at Proverbs 14. Look at verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Boy, that sounds like a place I want to be. You know why we sang blessed assurance? You know why we sang complete in Thee? Because in the fear of the Lord, I have a strong confidence. Not in myself, in the Lord. Amen. And then he goes on to say, and His children have a place of refuge. Now, here's why, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Here's what that fountain of life will do. To depart from the snares of death. Now, we're talking about primarily under this heading concerning salvation. And if you're not saved, you're dead in your trespass and sin. And without fearing the Lord, you're going to continue in that death. But the fear of the Lord will cause you to desire to be changed from death unto life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me show you this. Come to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. You say, I don't know about that preacher. Listen, I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. I'll mention it again. And I mention it because I'm upset about it. I'm aggravated about it. This whole religious mentality or idea of ABC, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and you're saved is not biblical. Now, salvation is simple. I mean, it's so simple a child can be saved. But you have to understand that you're a sinner before you can ever be saved. You have to understand that you're lost without God, and there's a penalty for that. And that's brought on by the fear of the Lord. Long before I feared God in the many ways that I fear Him now, I feared the wrath of God in judgment because I was separated from God. And look right here. Look at Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 34. You know the story, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11. Peter is preaching down at Cornelius' house. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse number 34, then Peter opened his mouth. And said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now look at this. But in every nation, he that feareth Him, speaking of God, and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. Now we understand, Romans chapter 4, other places in the Bible, we understand that our faith is counted to us for righteousness. However, as I just mentioned, without fearing the wrath and judgment of God, as a consequence of sin, we would not have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. I heard somebody make the very incorrect statement that if someone got saved because they feared hell, they were not really saved. I know that fearing hell didn't save me, but fearing hell sure did turn me to Christ. And that's where salvation is at. It was a healthy fear of a holy God and a righteous God that would send me to hell if I refused to repent. Amen. That's a healthy thing. Hey, I'm glad when I was a child sitting in church, and our world is so messed up today they would probably even look down on a frown about it. But I'm glad standing here now as a 58 year old man that as a young boy, as early as I don't know 8-10 years old, there was no children's church, there were none of those things. The preacher stood up and he pointed his finger in your face and told you if you didn't get born again, you was going to hell. You say, wow, that's cruel. That's unreasonable. No. You know what it did? It scared me into trusting Christ as my Savior. I praise the Lord for that. And so, look right here. Look at Luke chapter 23. Look at Luke 23. This is Christ is on the cross. The two malefactors are with Him. Look at verse 39. The Bible says, and one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on Him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself. So, you know, that malefactor certainly had no fear of God, had no understanding of who God was. He had no fear of His ability or His power or authority. But look at verse number 40. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, now look what he said. Dost not thou fear God? We're all three hanging on the cross, Christ in the middle. The one on the left, he said, who is this man? What is the deal with this? If he be the Christ, let Him save Himself and save us. The other said, hey, don't you fear Him? If you don't fear Him, you're in trouble, amen. Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so what we see, the fear of God caused one of these men to realize that there was something far worse than dying a physical death. And that was dying without the Lord Jesus Christ. And he realized that, and it caused him to fear the God that was hanging in the middle. Amen. I praise the Lord for a healthy fear of God. His fear of God gave him the needed knowledge to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, come to Proverbs chapter 10. So we talked about the fact that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of spiritual knowledge. It's the beginning of salvation. But look, it goes even beyond that. Come to Proverbs chapter 10. It is the beginning of satisfaction. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm not trying to say it. I'm saying it. Your lack of the fear of God has caused you a lot of dissatisfaction. I believe God, you know, I've made this statement before. It's been a while, but it's still true. One of the greatest things that the Lord has given me is contentment. That is a tremendous blessing. We're living in a world of completely discontented people. It don't matter how much I have, it's not enough. It don't matter what I achieve, I want more. It doesn't matter what I get, I can't get enough. And it's like that everything except for closer to the Lord and doing more for God. Well, now you're just meddling. No. Still preaching. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. It's the beginning of satisfaction. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse 27. The fear of the Lord, now this ought to help you, prolongeth days. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. I mentioned earlier, it is healthy to serve the Lord. It is healthy to fear the Lord. The reason for that, I read the verse of Scripture, if you fear the Lord, you'll depart from evil. And so the Bible says here, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. And so it's healthy to fear the Lord. Now, look at Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Look at this. Talking about, it's the beginning of satisfaction. Proverbs 15, look at verse 16. Better, now look, don't miss it. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Contentment. Can I tell you, I make statements like this and people get all bent out of shape. I understand that some of it is necessary and some of it has to be, but I'll tell you something, debt scares me to death. And so better is a little with the fear of the Lord. It has and is ruining more homes and more marriages and more families. And people, I don't know, it ruins people's walk with Christ. They can't serve the Lord. They can't be faithful. They can't give to missions. They can't tithe to the church. Or they can't. Why? Because there's no contentment in their life and they just buried themselves in debt. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, not possessions. Not wealth, not riches. The fear of the Lord prolongs with our days. And there is a little with the fear of the Lord. All right. So the importance of fearing the Lord is the beginning of spiritual knowledge, beginning of salvation. It's the beginning of satisfaction. I believe that the Lord can satisfy you. Amen. Now, come to Psalm 19. So the importance of fearing the Lord. Second of all, what is a biblical definition of fearing the Lord? Well, this is interesting. Psalm 19. I'm not saying I'll get all of them. I'm sure there's more. I do have several. I really like this one. It goes along with some of the things we've said already. I'll go ahead and tell you before I read the verse, a definition of fearing the Lord is clean. You say, what? Yes, it's clean. Look what the Bible says in verse number 7, Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now, we see all of that great instruction concerning the word of the Lord. It's talked about in the law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, all of that is speaking of God's word. And then it says, the fear of the Lord, verse number 9, is clean, Now look, don't miss it. Enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So we see the word clean. That's an unusual definition for the fear of the Lord. It means to be free from moral impurity. So you know what the fear of the Lord will do? It will cause you to live a clean life. It means free from moral impurity. It means to be innocent. The fear of the Lord will keep you clean. The reason that people get involved in immorality is they don't fear God. The reason that people continue in immorality and sin and wickedness and ungodliness is that they can steal whatever they want to. They don't fear God. I'm going to be just as totally absolute honest with you as I can. My flesh is as wicked as yours, but I'm scared to death to do some things. It would scare me absolutely to death. You know why? I fear the judgment and the wrath of God. So the fear of the Lord is clean. It'll help you live right. Now, come to Job 28. Job 28. Job is before Psalms 10. Job 28. I was going the other way. Job 28. So the fear of the Lord, the definition of the fear of the Lord is clean. Here's another definition. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. There's a bunch of these. We'll look at only a couple. Job 28, look at verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So, fear of the Lord is wisdom. I get it. To depart from evil is understanding. I didn't just get it. I put it into practice. Now, there's other places. Look at this. Look at Psalm 111. I won't ask you to turn to all of them. I have them all written down, but I want you to look at this one. I'll read the rest of them. So Job 28 says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. You want to see, you know a man that's wise? He fears the Lord. Psalm 111, look at verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, understanding is mentioned with it again. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. So the fear of the Lord is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And again, we have understanding associated with that. The understanding is that not only do they have the wisdom, they're doing something about it. I mean, some people understand the fear of the Lord, but they don't have any understanding. How do you know they don't have understanding? Because they're not practicing it. Now, look at Proverbs 9. I said we wouldn't turn to them all, but it's a good day to turn in our Bibles. Amen. Some of you got dust on the pages. You need to turn a few of them. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. We see the very same thing that we saw in Psalm 111 and verse number 10, and that is this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And so it's the beginning of wisdom. Now, I won't ask you to turn. There is one more that I want to read. Yeah, look at Proverbs 15. You're right there at it. You're already in the same book, just a couple of pages to the right. Look at verse 33, Proverbs 15. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. And so we saw repeatedly in the Bible, in these passages of Scripture and others that I didn't read, that the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Now, wisdom, a simple definition for wisdom would be the right use or exercise of knowledge. In other words, we saw that in the passages that related it with understanding. It's not that I just have the knowledge. I am actually using the knowledge that I've acquired. I don't know about you, but a lot of us, we have received knowledge about something that we've never implemented. To implement it is wisdom. Now, I know it's already a few minutes after 12. And I haven't even really got started good in my sermon. And I'll make it as brief as possible, but I want to give you seven things. I forgot about this part of the sermon. I just remembered the points and the subpoints. I forgot about the seven things that I wanted to mention that the Bible makes or makes us understand or shows us what a wise man is. I want to be a wise man. I'm not saying that I am, but I desire to be, I strive to be. I don't want to be a fool. I want to be a wise man. And so what does the Bible say about a wise man? Well, come to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. You want to be a wise individual? You know, nowhere in the Bible, and listen, I'm not against education. Please don't misunderstand me. But nowhere in the Bible does it talk about having a college degree or a bachelor's degree or a master's degree or a doctor's degree. None of those things are mentioned in the Bible concerning a wise man. But I'll tell you what the Bible is full of about a wise man. He will listen to God. He will hear what He says. He will obey what He says. He will try his best to implement what He says. And so, a wise man, first of all, now listen, we're living in a generation that will not listen to instruction. Right. Now, you say, preacher, you're just cruel and harsh. No, it was my earnest and honest desire to help. But I have literally been talking to people, and I have made this statement. Would you shut up? Now, some of you parents just flipped over backwards. So I can tell you something? They're so full of themselves, and they're just brainwashed by the world, and they just they come to you for help, but then they won't listen. Sometimes you just have to say, "Hey, either I'm leaving, or you can zip it and listen." Amen. Say, preacher, that's cruel, that's harsh. No, there's a generation out there that don't understand anything else. So, I'll tell you what a wise man does. He listens to instruction. It's not just young people. Have conversations with adults in the days that we live. You try to counsel them. You try to have a sit-down. Have a conversation. Can we talk about it? Can we get together? Can we mull it over? Can we see? Nah. You know why? They have no interest. I have no interest at all in listening to the instruction. Now, I don't care what prominent position they have in this world or whatever the case may be. According to the Bible, that is an unwise individual. So, Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse number 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So an unwise or a foolish person will not hear and heed instruction. But a wise man will listen to instruction. He will increase his learning. He will attain to wise counsel. Now you say, well, what is wise counsel? This is wise counsel. You can have all the degrees. You can have more degrees than a thermometer. But if this is not your counsel, it is simply the counsels of man. I don't care what Hollywood said. I don't care what the entertainers said. I don't care what the athletes said. I don't care what their opinions are. I don't care what their moral issues are. I have a Bible, amen. A wise man will listen to instruction. Listen, if you are a young person or an older person or a middle-aged person and you refuse to hear what thus saith the Lord, you're in a world of mess. You're in a world of hurt. Come to Proverbs chapter 10. Number one, they will listen to instruction. Number two, this is very profound. I'm getting really deep. You may have to get out one of them dictionaries or something. I don't know. So a wise man will listen to instruction. Second of all, it's really deep. They will obey what they hear. Now, Proverbs chapter 10, look at this, verse number 8. The wise in heart, want to be a wise man? The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. So a wise man will hear what the Lord has to say. A wise man will hear what the Bible teaches. A wise man will hear the instruction from the Word of the Lord. And he'll say, all right, I've heard that. Now I want to obey that. But a foolish man, the Bible says he's a prating fool. He's going to fall. Why is he going to fall? Because he's going to trip over what's placed in front of him. He won't hear it. He won't heed it. He won't listen. My way is better than your way. I feel this, or I think this. Well, quit feeling and thinking and start believing the Bible. Amen. I feel bad too sometimes. Now, so they will listen to instruction. They obey what they hear. Look at verse 14, same chapter. Number 3, they store what they learn. Oh, ain't that a noble idea? Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. So they store up what they hear. The wise man's knowledge is like a treasure. He stores it up to use for himself and to share with others as needed. I think I'm not teaching any kind of financial thing. I wouldn't be good at that, but I think you ought to lay up for a rainy day. I think if you're able to do that, if you have something that's valuable, maybe something that's passed down to you or something you've acquired, you treasure that. You put it up. You have the intention that, you know, there may be a time that I need that or I have to rely on that. But if not, my goal is I'm going to pass this on to someone else. I want someone else to enjoy this. And so that's what a treasure is. It's something that is highly regarded. It's something that's valued. You take it. It may be worthless money-wise. I have some things that I couldn't sell at the auction. I wouldn't get very much out of it at all. But it's invaluable to me. It's a treasure. And so knowledge, the Bible speaks of knowledge in that aspect. Wise men lay up knowledge. It is a treasure. We're laying it up. We're storing it. We're going to use it for our own benefit. We're going to use it for our own help, our own self. And if need arise, we're going to share that knowledge with others. We're going to use that to be a help and a blessing to someone else. And so wise men store up what they learn. The opposite of that in this verse is the foolish will blabber everything they hear and cause utter destruction. So that didn't make sense. We're talking about laying up knowledge. I related it to treasure. We're laying up valuable things from the Lord in our heart, in our mind. And we're going to share those things with ourselves and others as the need arises. But the opposite of that is someone who just can't keep their mouth or their tongue. The mouth of the foolish is near destruction. I'll tell you something, that tongue, that mouth, it's destroyed more homes, it's destroyed more churches, it's destroyed more relationships, it's caused more trouble, more heartache. It ain't no wonder the Bible says in the book of James that it's like a fire, something set on fire of hell. Amen. Now, come to Proverbs chapter 11. So they listen to instruction, they obey what they hear, they store what they learn. They win others to the Lord. Wait, we're still talking about what the Bible says a wise man is. I like this verse of Scripture. Oftentimes, I am asked when I am... Oftentimes, when I'm out preaching in other meetings, and it's a blessing the Lord opens any doors for me to preach, I praise the Lord for that. It is not uncommon that folks will come up to me after the church and ask me to sign their Bible. And so I sign the Bible, and I use this Bible verse, Proverbs 11:30. It says, "The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Now, I understand that there's that hypercritical, super spiritual guy that's going to say, "Can no man save anybody?" Duh. I realize that he that winneth souls is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the only wise God. But also understand the practical application for that is that the Lord expects you and I to be busy trying to win people to the Lord. So you say, why would you bring it up? Because I've had that happen, you know, in these, well, never mind. But anyway, so the indication here is that a wise man is in the habit of trying to persuade people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to be busy about winning people to the Lord. And the Bible says that the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I hope you're striving to win somebody to the Lord. Look at Proverbs 14. So the wise man, he listens to instruction, he obeys what he hears, he He stores up what he learns. He wins others to the Lord. Number five, they flee from sin. Look at Proverbs 14, verse 16. Well, it was going good. I killed it somewhere. Or either the clock did one, because it died about 5 minutes ago. I might have to go back and plow somewhere. Where did I get to that happened? Look at Proverbs 14. Wise men flee from sin. A wise man fleeth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. And so the instruction here is very simple and easy to understand. If you're involved in some kind of evil, you will flee from that if you're wise. If you're involved in some kind of evil activity, some kind of evil behavior, some kind of evil lifestyle, a fear of the Lord will cause you to fear from that, flee from that, and you'll be wise. If you continue in that, you're not a wise individual, amen. In fact, the Bible says, but the fool rageth and is confident. Look, this verse puts forth a very simple test. You're either wise or you're foolish. Now, number six. I mentioned this a moment ago, and I did that. I kind of forgot it was even in here. But here it is. I'll tell you something else a wise man does. He watches his tongue. Proverbs 16, look at verse 23. The heart, you know, don't you love the Bible? You see, the Bible says right here in this verse, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. You know what the Bible says in the New Testament? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so, if you have a wise heart, it will teach your tongue, amen. And so, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. And so, without elaborating a great deal on that, how is your language? How is your tone? How are the words that you use to those who are near and dear to you? You ought to watch your tongue, amen. Look at verse 27. Skip down to verse 27. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. And so an ungodly man cannot control his tongue. He is content with sowing discord, and he is content with causing division and trouble. Has no control over his tongue. Look at verse 29. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. Now, I read a couple of verses there. Notice the downward progression starting all the way back in verse 23 of our text. The wise man teaches his mouth. He adds learning to his lips. But beginning in verse number 27, we see the opposite of a wise man, the use of the mouth. He is labeled as an ungodly man because he digs up evil. And then he uses that to cause division and sow discord. In verse 29, he's called a violent man because he entices and leads others in a way that is not good. He closes his eyes to truth and righteousness and allows his lips to bring forth evil. What a horrible thing. A wise man will keep a close guard on his tongue. Now, number seven, they are diligent in daily work. We're just talking about what a wise man is. We was in Proverbs 10 before. Go back to there, Proverbs 10. We'll end right here. Proverbs 10, verse number 5, talking about a wise man is diligent in daily work. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Now, we could relate this to any kind of work and behavior, our normal job, our career, any of that stuff. But just talking about the things of the Lord, just talking about being busy for the Lord. Listen, there's nowhere to quit, man. There's nowhere to grow slack or weary in the work of the Lord. The world, the devil, and the flesh, they aren't taking any time off. And so may the Lord help you and I to not grow weary in the work of the Lord. I know it's dark out there. And we're seeing many things in the days and time that we live that I honestly never thought that we'd see before. But we just got to keep on going. We just got to keep being faithful to the Lord, and faithful to the things of the Lord, faithful to serve the Lord, faithful to teach and preach and live by His Word. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not glad, but it doesn't matter who condemns it, who turns against it, who goes bad or whatever. The Lord hasn't, He's the same. He's never failed us. He's always been faithful. And so stop looking at man and what man has done and is doing, and place your face squarely in the Word of God and on God Himself, and just keep going, amen. Be diligent. Be wise, amen, in the things of the Lord. Well, I'll stop right there this morning. I'll get the piano player to come, if she will. And I don't know about you, but I want to be wise. I want to be wise in the things of the Lord. I want to be a wise husband. I want to be a wise father. I want to be a wise papa. I want to be a wise preacher. I want to be a wise church member. The Bible teaches us how all of that is possible. And it all starts by fear.